We're working through just a short series on enjoying God. And tonight we're thinking about enjoying our speaking God. Quite unique to the Christian conviction about God is that he speaks. He doesn't want us to guess about who he is or how we should live and respond to him, but he speaks faithfully and continually to his creation. He speaks ultimately to us through his word, the Bible. But never in the history of human civilization have people, including Christians, been as distracted as we are at this point. Our lives are crammed with noise, with voices, with activities, with many things which take us away from listening to and enjoying our speaking God. And in this extraordinary season of lockdown, although many of us have said, if only I had more time to read my Bible, really to get to know God, unless we take very intentional steps, we may come blinking into the sunlight in some weeks or months to come and actually discover we've been even more distracted and we've not taken ourselves in hand and pursued enjoying the God who speaks to us through his word. So let's think about this subject together. And to help us, we're going to the verses in Psalm 119. I almost could have taken any portion of this famous psalm, because it is a psalm all about God's word, whether the psalmist refers to God's word as his law or his counsel, his commands or his statutes, his precepts. He's always referring to what he reads God saying to him in the Bible. And he's thrilled with the book he's holding in his hand, the revelation of God in the Bible. This is a psalm which William Wilberforce, the great abolitionist of the international slave trade, committed to memory all 176 verses of it. And he said, no part of scripture ever gave me as much hard work to memorize, but no part of scripture ever blessed me, comforted and strengthened me as much as Psalm 119 did. And the psalm is almost a love song to God's word. But actually, as we hear it as a love song to God's word, we hear it as a love song to the God who so graciously speaks through his word. There are two things for us to do tonight as we spend these moments together. And in the second half, I want to give you a handful of very, very practical tips and suggestions as to how you might, in specific ways, enjoy more the God who speaks to you through his word, the Bible. But here is the first thing which I want us to see in the psalm. That if we are to enjoy God, the God who speaks to us, firstly, we need to know who we are in Christ and how much we therefore need to listen to God. So if we don't know, or if we lose sight of who we are in Christ, we will fail to listen to God's word. We will fail to enjoy him. But these verses, verses 17 to 24, say that we are servants, we are strangers, we are strugglers, and that God wants us to be deeply satisfied by listening to his word. So let's take each of those just briefly in turn. We need to know that in Christ we are servants, and servants need instruction. So verse 17, do good to your servant. No follower of Christ is above being a servant. In fact, to be a servant is a high, high privilege because of the one we serve. The one Jesus Christ who said to his disciples when he washed their feet, I am among you as one who serves. He found a dignity in serving, even washing the dirty feet of his ungrateful disciples. We have the highest dignity of doing everything to serve and honor Christ and the people who need his love. For that, we need to know what he wants us to do. We need to know his instructions. I've told some in the Hope Church family before, of a young man I know, and we're having a conversation. We're talking about daily Bible reading. And I said, so how do you read your Bible each day? And he said to me, I read 12 chapters each day out loud. And no, he wasn't boasting, but he wasn't exaggerating. And I said, that's a lot of the Bible. And he said very simply, yeah, but I can't do God's will if I don't know what God's will is. And I thought, you can't beat that logic. The more we see ourselves as servants, the more we will be eager to hear what God says so that we can obey what God says. Secondly, we're strangers. Verse 19, I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. And the New Testament makes much of our being not strange as Christians, but strangers. People who do not belong ultimately to this world, but people who belong to Jesus Christ and therefore to the world to come. So the Apostle Peter, Jesus' great friend and disciple, makes much of this reality of who we are in Christ in his first letter. We are aliens and we are strangers. We're passing through. We therefore need a path to follow. And God, as we read his word, will show us that path. He will show us the way for us to go as we follow Jesus. If we don't know that path, if we don't want it, we will lose our way and we will fail to enjoy God and fail to honor him. A Christian writer I was reading this week says of fellow Christians, he says, there is a low-level dissatisfaction which hums under the surface of our lives. A humming dissatisfaction. Why is that? Because instinctively we try to get satisfaction in this passing, crumbling world, and it doesn't work. And we try to get small amounts of satisfaction in our God, but we're half-hearted. And the dissatisfaction hums in our ears. And God is saying to us, in my son, you are secure. You're a servant. You're a stranger. Listen to his voice and enjoy him. Servants, strangers. Thirdly, we are strugglers. The Bible is embarrassingly, perhaps to us, embarrassingly realistic about how hard the Christian life is. And we are servants who therefore need strength. So in verse 22, the psalm writer says, remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. And verse 23, he is slandered, though rulers, the important people, the opinion formers, sit together and slander me. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. He's making an active choice to get into God's word because the life of faith is very, very hard. I have a friend who many years ago joined the army, and he knew that first night in the barracks as he and his fellow soldiers got ready for bed, this was a time of testing. This was a challenge. So as he took his uniform off, he got thoroughly ready. He chose to open his Bible and he knelt by his bed. He said they threw shoes and boots and boot brushes and tins of polish. Everything came at him. And he didn't stop after the first night either. But he persevered and God honored him. And there were many opportunities in the weeks which followed for him to speak to his fellow soldiers of the God he enjoyed. The Christian life is not easy for any of us, but God wants to give us strength as we get into his word. And then therefore, verse 24, we are satisfied. We know in a new way, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. It is God alone who truly guides us in such a way that his guidance delights us because we have that experience of walking with the living God, loving him and being loved. So if we're grasping who we are in Christ, servants, strangers, strugglers, we will look to God's word for encouragement and instruction, and we will discover satisfaction in listening to God. But secondly, we need to pray for help if we're going to come and be people of God's word, and we need to help ourselves. It's not enough to say years down the line, yeah, I heard something on how I should read my Bible once, and I prayed and, well, nothing really happened. We have to start with prayer, but then we have to face up to the responsibilities of being Christians who are people of the word. So the psalmist does pray, verse 17, do good to your servant. There's a prayer, feeling weak and vulnerable. The psalmist wants God to come close and deal with him. Verse 18, a famous verse, and a verse you might make a prayer for the next time you open your Bible. Open my eyes. Lord, I'm opening your word. Would you open my eyes and show me things perhaps which I thought before were ordinary or basic or I hadn't understood, but now as your spirit works, they are wonderful. Wonderful things in your law. And he continues, do not hide your commands from me. So friends, pray. We are entering a supernatural realm, we might say. We are asking God to work by his spirit, to open his word and teach us that we might know that word is wonderful. It sustains, strengthens, and delights us. But then there are responsibilities for us to do. We need to help ourselves. And here, I simply just want to offer a handful of ideas and suggestions and encouragements. It might be that one or two particularly speak to you. So grab hold of them and see if you can't put them into practice this week. Firstly, choose discipline. If you're going to listen to God speaking, you'll want to hear God speaking often. You'll need to fold times into your life every day in which you have that encounter with God through his word so that your enjoyment in him grows. We all love the idea of being disciplined. Most of us don't like the struggle to get there. Maybe in this period of lockdown, we've been thinking quite a lot about exercise and maybe making one or two tentative steps to it. It's always hard to take up a new discipline. And with every new discipline, we fall down from our best intentions. But as we keep going, threading day to day to day, discipline may still feel tough, but it feels a bit more normal. And then we enjoy it. And then we miss out if we struggle and fall back and we want to be disciplined. So it must be with Bible reading every day. Every day, spending time with God. So secondly, if we're going to choose discipline, we need to work on a format in which we can hear God's word. And you need to decide and maybe experiment. When in the day are you going to open God's word? How much of God's word are you going to read? My counsel is not that you read 12 chapters unless you're particularly motivated, but I think you need to read more than 12 verses each day. But what does it look like for you? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters? And how are you going to get a balanced diet of Old Testament and New? Are you going to use Bible reading notes? Are you going to read on your own or with friends or a spouse? Ask those questions, experiment, but make sure you are pursuing a format of Bible reading which will help you. Thirdly, be an active reader. Don't just open the Bible and let the whole thing wash over you, but listen for those promises or commands which strike you. Underline key words, even in your Bible. Write out key verses. Jot a thought down. Even seek to commit a verse or a passage to memory so that your reading of the Bible is active, not passive. Fourthly, how about share your reading? Share what you're reading with somebody else. Talk about what you're reading. If you like, buddy up with somebody and read the same passages. But talk about them. Fifthly, expect to hear God. It's a great Old Testament prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's go to our Bibles expecting that God will speak to us. And if we go with that humble expectation, he will delight to speak to us. And finally, dare to enjoy God's word. The world is full of passing and disappointing things, but God has given us a treasure of his word. As we engage with his word and learn to enjoy it, we discover we're engaging with God and enjoying him. That's what I want to say this evening. I trust you're encouraged. I hope you're challenged. Let's take those thoughts and all of our thoughts to the Lord, and let me pray a short prayer. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes. Your word is full of wonderful things, and we've all discovered the wonders of your law. But Lord, we're forgetful, and we're dull, and we're not disciplined, and our desires are weak, and we all get distracted. Please, we pray, in this season, reach out to us, strengthen us, ground us in your word, and give us the joy of finders who find the great treasure and the great delight of knowing the God of his word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.